Man, it sucks to be back at work. Just as I was starting to enjoy my vacation.
I know, I was just beginning to remember what it felt like to feel things. Like joy, or not having to watch crappy movies repeatedly for no damn reason.
Well, guess I better open the store.
Hold up there, Mike. We're not opening just yet. I've got a little surprise for you two. Some belated Christmas gifts!
Wasn't Christmas like 3 weeks ago?
Well, who says it needs to be Christmas to hand out gifts, right? Besides, I have a feeling you guys will really appreciate what I got you. Anyway, just open them.
Okay, sure. Let's see what we got here. Oh! It's a book. Learning to Cope with Unexpected Annoyance. Thanks, Dave.
Ooh, Wasteland Weed. Extra dank. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, this is great, but what's the catch?
Catch? Well...
Aw, crap, what was that?
Wait, is that... Are we about to...
I'm afraid so, Mike.
Oh, no. Is it already that time again?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can't think of a better time to get blazed than right now.
Can I get a few hits off that?
Only if you'll let me read that book when you're done with it.
Deal.
In the not-too-distant future... Four movie fans awaken from a nuclear nightmare, only to discover that the world is a barren, movieless wasteland. However, the destiny of our four heroes is not set. A chance discovery in Sector 2, and an unfortunate accident that rips the very soul from one of their own, will lead them down the path of bringing the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Welcome to Apocalypse Video.
Psychokinesis and these delusions.
No, you're not listening to me!
The one you've been asking for.
Hey, Tina, isn't this the way they wear their jackets back in the mental hospital?
Concentrate, Tina!
The one you've been dying for.
You people give me the creeps.
Okay, you big hunk of a man, come and get me.
Jason is back. But this time, someone is waiting. Part 7, The New Blood. Opening Friday, May 13th, the deadliest day of the year.
There goes the neighborhood.
Oh, well, I am, well, thank you, Jackie, for letting me take a hit off that, because...
Oh, thank you, Dave, yeah.
Well, just to get things started, I'm your host, Dave. I'm joined again, reluctantly, by my fellow cinephiles, Jackie.
You know what I like about you, Dave? You hardly sweat at all.
I was wondering if one of you guys were going to use that as your quote.
There's only so many quotes in this silly movie, and that is one of them.
And Mike.
I've been rejected by the finest scientific magazines of this nation.
You were so close on that one.
It was close.
Well, I say joined reluctantly because, and I get it, guys. I feel your pain on this particular Friday entry because, and thank you again for letting me partake in your dank wasteland weed, because it did make this movie a little more enjoyable. Because without it, I fear this. I'll just lay my cards out on the table right now. Even though I'm a big Friday the 13th franchise fan, Part 7, The New Blood, ranks pretty low on my list of these films. I don't know about you guys, but...
I mean, it's no Part 6, Jason's Back.
No. I mean, he's still the man behind the mask. And,
yeah, he's
still
coming for you.
He's still coming for you.
I feel like, yeah, we had a lot more fun with the last one, and this one was just so, like... You're watching, you're like, okay, yeah, I get it. She's Carrie. Yeah, no, I get it. She's Carrie.
It's the most, like... I didn't like hate this movie, I'll say, but it's the most of all these that feels like it's on autopilot.
Yeah.
Yes. It just feels like it meanders.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they all kind of do in a way where it's just like, eventually it's just like, here are characters, now let's watch them get killed.
Yeah, but like, Part 6, you could count on some weird song to start describing what was about to happen.
And like, Part 6 is do we get the paintballers in
Part
6?
Yeah,
so there's like the characters.
It's funny.
The characters we see are a little more interesting than this. Like, when it does a lot of like these movies when they have a little like a lot of like short stories where like you see characters and they're like, oh, what's going on with these two people?
What's the dynamic here?
Yeah,
that couple's mad
killed.
At each other? That couple's having sex?
And this movie, like the stories that you get in those little vignettes are like, some of them are cool. Yeah, but they're kind of overall, it's a little weaker. Like I say, a little more like just kind of on autopilot. But,
like a makeover scene.
Yeah, let's spend multiple
it's not all
minutes.
Bad, though. Like, I don't think this was like a miserable movie by any means. I'll
no,
say,
it's not.
Like, right off the bat, I was like raising some eyebrows when so the runtime of this movie is under an hour and a half. It's an hour 28, and like,
which
the
is the first thing you guys asked me when I popped it into the VHS player. Like, how long is this tape?
Well, and with that in mind, it's like not a good sign when the movie's so short and the first 5 minutes is just like a clip show.
Is only
clips.
Well,
Friday the 13th.
I was actually kind of thankful for this a little bit, more for your guys' sake, because if you recall, the last movie that we watched in the Friday the 13th, this ongoing series that we have whenever the day pops up, was not Friday the 13th Part 6, it was Jason X.
True.
So I was actually kind of like, oh, this is good, because I didn't know where your guys' headspace was going into Part 7 after watching Part 10 prior to
How are
to
we
going to
keep up with the complicated plot
There's
and
so
continuity?
Many plot threads with this series.
This series, because
it's like jumping into Game of Thrones season
this,
6.
This is
There's
like
so,
the,
so much to keep up on.
Seventh movie in what, like 8 years? And it's so, like, the flashbacks don't help, the clip show doesn't help, where you're like, once again, just, you know, not to CinemaSins all over it, but it's like. What year is this taking place? How many years have passed since the last time we saw? How old are any of these young people? Are they 20? Are they 35? Like,
well, that's one of a few big issues I have with this movie, the things that don't make sense.
And I know it's a silly movie. It's all of it's a cash grab one after another.
For sure.
But I'm just like, how the scene where like Tina finds the newspaper clippings about Crystal Lake and she's like, wait a second, and it's like, when did this occur?
Well, should we get into the plot of the... Well, before we get into the timeline, the confusing timeline of this movie, let's get into the so-called plot. Mike, so-called why don't you lead plot. Us in to Friday the 13th, Part 7, The New Blood.
Yeah, so...
The plot is so new in this one.
Have you read the book Carrie?
I've never heard of that.
Well, hold on. Mike, When you give the plot synopsis for this one, do it in the old man narration voice in the beginning.
Oh, right away, before we start, I'm going to bring this up more than once. This movie is just a slap in the face to all the moms, all the mom characters, because right away we're erasing the work of Mrs. Voorhees. The monologue starts and they're like, yes, Jason, the curse of Jason Voorhees. And it's like, I think his mother would like a word.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. You're right.
And then we'll get later
this
into...
This franchise wants to pretend that didn't happen because this... that
because that's lame.
That
we're talking about
movie
a,
is not... Yeah.
We're talking about a creepy undead man, not his crazy mom. Anyway, we'll talk about what happens to Tina's mom, too.
I think they actually do say this is 1968. That this
oh
this,
did they
that the, well not that the movie takes place in 1968 but the when we open
with the little girl
there's a line later in the movie where they say
really?
Like in 1968 yeah
even though no one and nothing is styled to reflect this of course
in 1968 a young Tina Shepherd is at Camp Crystal Lake with her parents and her dad is an alcoholic abusive guy. And Tina's, like, not down with that.
She doesn't like that for some reason.
She gets on a boat to try and sail away. As her dad chases after her, Tina's like, I hate you, Dad, because you're abusive. And kills him with psychic powers. Basically, like, shaking the dock and he falls over.
She shook it up real bad.
And he can't swim and drowns.
Totally not Carrie.
Why? This is a big missed opportunity here. Because... they set up Jason is chained to the bottom of the lake and still alive, like he doesn't die. Mm-hmm. And the dad falls into the lake. And that's
it. The dad and Jason should have been friends.
No one connected the dots where, like, Jason and the dad should be, like, doing something. Like, Jason should have killed the dad, should have befriended the dad. Like, they even do the thing where there's lots of shots of the dad underwater. In a similar thing, like we know Jason's
sorry,
there,
we're gonna save
there.
Dead underwater dad for the last 5 minutes.
It's it makes me, it feels like there's like something edited out there. Like it's kind of bizarre, I think. Anyway.
Hold on. Is this a bit or are you serious? You really think they should have been friends throughout the movie?
No, I don't think they should have been friends, but I do think we should have seen like...
Then we should have gone underwater and they should have been like...
What we see of the Aquaman bubble around them.
Yeah. And then they're like, we can talk like this. Anyway, my name is Jason Voorhees.
My name is Jason Voorhees. I see you also are...
do you also have problems with your family?
No, you like to drink? Oh, I like to kill.
No, but it's so weird like, in the first 5 minutes of the movie, we set up, like, the ticking time bomb of Jason's under the water in this lake, and then the dad, like, falls into the lake.
Is Jason
in, like,
already
the same...
under the lake when the dad dies?
Yeah, you see him underwater.
Wait, so what year did Jason come back
and get chained up by Tommy? We'll get into that, but the story basically, she comes back late. Hold on, I'll do my voice.
Yeah, do the voice.
So she comes back later.
How many years? No one knows.
An undetermined amount of years, but now she's a teenager.
No, I think it's supposed to be 20 years later because it's not 68 to now it's 88 when the movie came out.
But that doesn't make sense, Mike, because the last movie clearly took place in the 80s. They had boomboxes.
Time isn't real.
Maybe Crystal Lake is like the Bermuda Triangle. Like time is like, you know, all weird and twisty.
And it messes up people's minds so that they don't remember all the murders that keep happening there.
On one of the cabins is like old-timey homesteaders from like the 1800s.
And they're like, we've just found this lake.
Well, because like if we assume that, all right, so if we look at the sixth movie, it was a summer camp. And that happened, that movie takes place, you know, decades after the events of the first movie. When Jason's mom first starts killing people, like in the 50s, you know, this takes place decades after that. She has been dead. He has come back. He is in zombie form. It's clearly the 80s. And then he gets put under the water with the chain. Mm-hmm. That is, we are in the 80s at that moment. But when this movie starts, it's a flashback. And Jason's under the water, and the camp is gone. It's this little girl. So
it's no longer a camp. It's like just some vacation houses now, I guess.
Houses.
How big is Crystal Lake?
Well, it's just, it's so weird, because if you just assume that the, that this follows part six, you're like, okay, so is this decades after part the events in part six? Because the camp is gone, it's two vacation houses, you have this little girl, and then it cuts forward an undetermined amount of time when she's in her teens or early 20s. So does this movie take place like in the 2000s or?
Yeah, this is a sci-fi movie.
It's a future movie.
This is basically Jason X.
Yes,
we're like 15 minutes in, and we're just trying to decipher.
We're just screaming about the timeline. Anyway, we're back.
It doesn't
matter. Actually, just like Jason. Actually, this could make sense that this takes place in the 2000s, but it looks like it's the 80s because the 80s came back around again in style.
I guarantee, in this 15 minutes we've been talking about this, we have thought more about it than the people who made this movie ever did.
They do not care about time. They care about making a movie in, you know, 2 months or something.
Yeah, we got two months to crank this out.
But it kind of makes sense if you're right, Mike. If they do say 1968 in the beginning of the movie, then if I'm being right,
they do.
They do. Okay, so this is just a case of filmmakers, as was the case all... It's always the case like this with sequels, especially with low-budget sequels, where it's like, hand-waving, whatever. You know, like, we did the narration, we weren't specific about the time, just don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, just don't even worry about it.
I want to throw out there, like, one of the things I saw on the Chattopedia on this, and I think this is as good a time as any. It sounds like there was like originally a good idea for this, and then
a
coked up studio producer was like, "Nah." So basically,
I just saw Carrie.
one of the original ideas from Barbara Sachs, a woman in Hollywood.
What? That doesn't happen. I don't know what you're talking about.
She was thinking of having an idea where like a corporate like real estate developer was going to show up and try and like redo Crystal Lake. Which, like, I imagine, like, Crystal Lake condos try and, like, erase the history of Jason. So I'm imagining, like, lots of, like, yuppies moving into, like, fancy new apartments, and then Jason shows up. That sounds fun.
And that sounds satisfying.
But then Frank Mancuso Jr.
Mancuso
Jr. was like, okay, what about a teenage girl who, like, he's like, Jason's about fighting teenage girls. So what if we did that and, like, what if she had, like, telekinetic powers?
What if she was, like, Carrie?
What if she was blonde and we do a lot of close-ups on her making, like, a serious face and then some nails and shit fly around?
But yeah, and then literally it was, like, at that point decided as the Jason versus Carrie idea.
Yeah, and then they were like, okay, cool, no more ideas.
Well, it's funny because the original conception for this movie was not Jason versus Carrie, it was Freddy versus Jason.
Mm. Oh, is this the beginning of Freddy versus Jason?
This is the beginning because at this point in time, Nightmare on Elm Street had come out a few years prior to this movie and was grossing almost double what the Friday movies were grossing at the time. Friday was dwindling the box office. Nightmare on Elm Street was just going up, up, up. So the idea was, let's team them up because now Jason is a zombie character. We have declared him to be a zombie in the last movie. Let's just get him together. Our box office is dwindling, but it's a known name. Come on, guys, let's make it work. They couldn't make it work until 15 years later. Which is another movie we'll get to in an undetermined amount of time. It might be decades later from now when we finally watch Freddy vs. Jason. I don't know.
I don't know. We'll get there eventually.
I want to watch reading the little I see of this. I would love maybe not a movie, but I'd love to see like a short film on the making of this movie. That like so Barbara Sachs is the one who was, you know, the idea of making it like a yuppie kind of thing.
But it says like in the Chattopedia, make it like Jaws. I'm like, ooh, that's a fun idea.
And she apparently had like really high ambitions for it, where like she said she wanted to win Academy Awards. And what? They considered, they were trying to get like, or thinking of like fancy directors for it, including Federico Fellini.
They're like, you know what we need here is, no, let's
of
get
eight
like,
and a half.
Let's get an Italian director for this, like, this movie's going to blow everything else
out of
the
water.
We need
one of those fancy Jean-Luc like, Godard. Where's he at right now?
What's Godard doing right now?
I'm like, if you're going to go for an Italian director, go for Dario Argento or something. Yeah.
No, we need the class of Fellini.
Federico Fellini. Well, I'm just imagining, like, Federico Fellini getting, like, a telegram,
a fax
of, like, Friday 13th?
He's like, what the fuck? No, thank you. No, I'm good.
Well, you mentioned Godard. Like, what would a Jean-Luc Godard Friday the 13th movie look like?
it'd be a lot of like weird cuts. I bet it'd be kind of cool. I bet he could do it fun.
You know, honestly, there is a Jean-Luc Godard editing. You mentioned cuts. I feel like there's a Jean-Luc Godard moment in this movie where you have Tina. So to kind of touch back on the plot of this movie.
Oh, yeah, the plot.
She is driven back to the scene of the telekinetic crime where she thinks she killed her dad. She's guilty about it. So
she
her psychiatrist.
Kinda did.
Dr. Cruz, played by Bernie, Weekend at Bernie's himself.
Oh, shit.
That is him. You might not have recognized him because he didn't have the mustache.
He's alive.
He didn't have his He's alive in this movie.
He moves around on his own.
But he is convinced that taking her back will cure her of this issue, even though he's not looking to cure her. He just wants to exploit her telekinetic powers.
Yeah, he's like, I'm planning to keep on abusing you so I can watch you do telekinetic shit.
Basically, yeah. He's making his own group of X-Men. But
and for some reason, that doesn't work out for him.
But to get back to what I was mentioning about like a Jean-Luc Godard edit in this movie, like it just made me laugh when it happened. So you have this scene where she's like arguing with Dr. Cruz, like, you're just trying, blah, 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 you don't care about me, blah, blah, blah. And then it cuts to these two people having sex in a van outside. And then it cuts back to them. Oh, God, Dad, I killed you. You know what I mean? It's just such a bizarre cut.
The Jean-Luc Godard cut, the first 5 minutes or so would just be like, it would be Jason Voorhees underwater, and there would be like narration where he's like talking about movies.
Of course, I like movies.
I'm just like anyone else.
You know what? I think the reason my relationships don't work is because whoever I'm with, they don't like the movies I like.
The coldness of the water reminds me of the coldness of John Wayne's stare.
My mother took me to the movies when I was just a boy. And it just turns into the Fablemans.
Then there's just like a...
You see, Jason,
that changed my life.
A movie is just a picture projected at 24 frames per second.
There's like a shot of Jason in glee as someone's getting stabbed in front of him.
His mom's like, that's right, Jason. That's the magic of movies.
Yes.
Well, should we talk about the cast of not teens? They're all those fun characters.
The cast of totally teenagers.
Yeah,
they are supposed to be playing teenagers because there is a line when one of the characters goes, and then he carded me. You know what I mean? So yeah. I'm pretty sure they're supposed to be teenagers.
I think I will say, actually, as we're getting from the 70s into the 80s, I do think we're getting closer to, like, they are aging down.
Think of
the 70s.
True, but
they were like 30.
The whole thing with the 80s, though, which makes it all so confusing, is like the style at the time was like, what if I dressed like a 45-year-old administrative assistant? So all of the women are wearing like the crazy shoulders that were just of the style. The one girl who has her makeover scene, she takes off her glasses. She has literally the same hairdo my mom had in the 80s, in 1988, but she was already a mother and like, you know, not a teenager.
Yeah, but she was probably the same age.
Yeah. She was also 23.
That's a good point, yes.
And it's just so aging for everyone.
Was clothing in the 80s like a throwback to like the 40s and 50s?
Yeah, it was a like, you know, 40s by way of 80s,
big shoulders. Feels like not 50s.
But it is like so ugly and everyone's bangs look like shit and it's all
Not everyone's. There's a couple okay bangs.
Most of them.
The final girl has like,
she has like normal hair.
Yeah, her hair still reads.
And then her mom comes in and she's like, hey girl.
Yeah.
Excuse me, miss, your hair, it's not quite reading as normal in the camera. Can you wait?
that's why the mean girl, when Tina and her mom first show up, she's like, what a dork. Like, look at her outfit. It's like, she has straight hair.
Her hair's not puffed out at all.
She's wearing a sweater.
Where
Gross.
Are the shoulder pads?
I do.
She's
on that
a sweater
note,
and it's not tied around her shoulders.
Ew. On that note, I love how over the top mean that the mean girl is, where she's
asshole. Just immediately, like, ew.
She's just like, ugh, gross.
What did she call her? Like Marilyn Munster?
And it fell.
Yeah, yeah. She's the first thing she says, she's like, there goes the neighborhood.
Yes. She's literally like just an innocuous girl, she like just, walking.
She like says hi to them, and then this girl's just like, gross.
Well, it's like her like suitcase nothing. Opens up and it spills out, and she's like, oh, geez.
Oh my God, what a nerd. I fucking hate her.
It's pretty,
I hate her.
I like that stuff.
Yeah,
I,
no, she's so mean.
She's like
no
the MVP
reason.
Of the movie.
Yeah, she's trying to fuck the main guy. He's like, I don't like you. She's like, we'll see.
Well, it's funny. The main guy, let's talk about the main guy, Nick, the main guy at the, mm-hmm. at the teenager house, played by 30-year-olds.
The main 30-year-old teen, Nick.
It can't just be me, but is this guy a clone, a perfect clone of Christopher Reeve?
Oh, I could see
He's
it.
He's got a bit of Reeve
There's
to him,
There's a few
huh?
clones in here. There, we got that guy. We have a guy who looks a lot like Michael Ian Black.
Mm.
And then we have a guy who looks a lot like Will
oh,
Forte.
Oh, there's a Will Forte in there. Even the mean girl, at a certain point, I was like, this looks like bleach blonde Amy Adams. Like,
oh, I could see
it. I see it a little bit, yeah.
You know, the kind of mean girl roles that Amy Adams was playing in like the early 2000s before
yeah,
she
you're
like,
totally
hit
right
it big.
About the Christopher yeah. Reeves. When we were watching this, I was thinking like, who does he? Yeah, Christopher Reeve.
But the Will Forte one was.
Yeah, the Will. He doesn't last very long.
I thought you said what was the guy before Will Forte?
Michael Ian Black.
Michael Ian Black. I was thinking that guy, the nerd character. I thought he looked like the burgeoning sci-fi writer. I thought he reminded me of Ashton Kutcher.
That guy was a little Kutcher.
Maybe.
But
maybe.
Yeah. There's
Mike is dubious.
Rejection. Okay, fine. I can take it. I've been rejected by some of the finest science fiction magazines in the continental United States.
Again, the girl with the glasses looks just like my mom in the 80s.
So basically, I feel like, I don't know if we like explain what's going on, but...
he's back and he's killing people.
Well,
and there's a
so,
Carrie
And
like,
he's coming
clone.
For you.
He's
so Tina has telekinetic powers, and so 20 years after she killed her dad, a psychiatrist who's helping her,
helping her slash forming the X-Men.
That's why I said helping her, Dave.
Okay. Please let the narrator do his
work. Taking her and her mom back to the scene of Crystal Lake to help figure out her trauma. Or
slash traumatize her more.
And at the same time, there's also 30-year-old teens who are still hanging out and partying. And what's under the lake? It's Jason.
It's Jason!
He's back.
He's back and
he's
coming
for you.
He's
the man inside the mask.
He's the man inside the mask. Yeah, the not teens are there for a surprise party for their friend who is killed. He and his girlfriend killed by Jason. The first on-screen deaths besides old dad.
He's the one that looks like Michael Ian Black.
Oh, that guy. Oh, okay, okay. For some reason, he said that. I thought maybe the guy we're talking about now, I thought that was Will Forte, but that's not right. Okay.
No, Will Forte's the one who has a machete.
In the camp, when they're just like, let's just camp. Like
oh, the, right! That's that the guy, the random campers.
No, yeah, Will Forte's the one with the machete, who he's like, I'll warm you up in the sack. Anyway.
I'm glad I brought this machete to give to Jason.
So the birthday boy and his girlfriend are murdered. Everyone else is at the house to be like, where's Michael? You know him. He's probably drunk driving.
Yeah, I love that. Like, you know our friend Michael. He's probably in jail again for drunk driving.
He probably got pulled over for drunk driving.
What I love about these teenagers is, like, a day goes by.
80s.
Like, you know, they for one thing, they're, like, the Michael doesn't know about the surprise party, so something could have happened, could have got a flat tire, could have changed her mind and gone somewhere else, you don't know, whatever. But what I love is a day goes by, and then the next day, all these teenagers like, so, you want to just, like, open up his gifts or what?
So I guess, should we put the cake out even though he's not here? Because I kind of want to
eat
cake.
Yeah, open up his gifts, whatever.
And only his cousin, Nick, who's not really friends
Reeve.
With the rest of them, is like, Christopher Reeve, yeah, is like trying to call and like find out where he is.
Yeah.
And of course, Tina's like, I saw him in a vision get murdered by Jason. And no one believes her for some reason.
That Jason, that was like 70 years ago.
That was like 100 years ago.
It's like the year 2050 right now. What are you talking about?
I don't know. Wait, I found some old yellow newspaper clippings about a bunch of murders?
You knew about this.
Oh my God, Jason.
Dr. Bernie, so
Jason is chained up at the bottom of the lake. I forget, how does he get out? How does
she frees him with her psychic powers because she's feeling so sad about her daddy.
Is this when she's just like staring out under the lake?
Yeah, and she makes her psychic face and the water bubbles, and then when she sees him come out of the water, she's like, "That's not my dad," and she faints. So the movie does not really grapple with this in a big way, which I don't expect it to because it's a very stupid movie. The dad, who we establish is an abusive alcoholic, hitting the mom within sight of the child.
We don't see any of it. It's just like...
It's off screen, you know.
We literally just hear that it happens.
But, and of course, you know, like 20 years after the fact, that the child and the mother both are like, "Oh, I miss him so much." And it's, you know, there's a lot of guilt wrapped into, like, you know, abusive situations. And, of course, with that much time passed, you maybe forget the bad things and are only missing this person. The movie does not talk about this at all. They're just like, "Oh, isn't it so sad that he's dead? Aw." It is sad,
no,
huh?
No, this is not like an exploration
no,
of
it
trauma.
Definitely is
well,
not.
Well, see, in the Fellini version of this movie, you might have gotten into some
it
of these
does. The mom has a line of like, "I miss him too, but we should remember that," you know, nothing like that.
In the
that.
Yeah. version, actually most of the movie is they get stuck on traffic on the way there, and it's just like a
It's just a mother and daughter.
Float above the traffic in sort of a dreamlike sequence.
And on that note, as I mentioned before, of moms just completely getting the short end of it in this movie, poor Mrs. Shepherd, who is beaten off screen, she's killed as a human shield, and
oh,
we,
yeah.
and, like, the focus of that moment is on the doctor, not her, and this whole time it's like she's just trying to help her daughter, get her some help, you know, trusting that this doctor has her best interests in mind.
You're not trying to help my daughter at all.
And when she finds out that he's, you know, fucking her over, she's like, "Oh, fuck you. I gotta get out of here. I gotta find my kid." And for what? She just gets murdered
I
by
feel
Jason.
Like we mentioned Argento earlier. I imagine a Dario Argento directed scene when she's watching the videotape and she's hearing his narration. And then the guy walks in. You know what I mean? I could see the lighting
and
in that scene
like
being very cool.
Pink neon. Light.
Like this, yes. This poor woman who's just trying her best, and you know,
the
gets fridged.
The doctor is like the real villain of this movie.
Oh yeah,
more than Jason.
Jason, well,
Jason
is a zombie
Jason
who needs to
shark.
Kill, and he does it.
Yeah, he's the shark.
The doctor is like, "I see you have psychic abilities. I'm going to fuck you up."
The doctor is like the mayor of the town who's like, "We gotta leave the beaches open."
"No, I'm sorry. We have to keep on traumatizing you because that's how your powers work. And I want to see your powers work.
I'm trying to be a Professor Xavier."
"Wait a second. You're going to a party with people who are sort of maybe your own age? That's messing up our whole thing because if you're happy, you're not going to be doing psychic shit."
Well, there's that great moment when she goes next door and he's like, where'd she go? Who's
where'd
that boy?
She go?
Well, I thought it was all about making her normal again, right? He's like,
right.
Yes, of course.
He's so pissed off that she goes to a party for like 5 minutes and he's just like, "Oh, she came back and she's you know, saying she saw a man. Time to gaslight." Excellent.
"Dr. Cruz, I saw him, but I can't describe him."
"But you said him. Are you saying a man came out of the lake?"
"I know what you're thinking, but this has nothing to do with my father."
"Tina, don't run away from it. Your guilt over your father's death is, it's a powerful thing."
"But it wasn't my father."
"And your mind is manufacturing his hallucinations because..."
"It wasn't a hallucination."
"Yes, it was."
"No!"
Is the party where she like Tina uses her telekinetic powers on the bully to like
no
break
that's
her
the
necklace?
Next day the oh. first party she just sees a vision of Michael like,
getting killed
dying
oh, right
and she drops her Coca-Cola and she runs out and then the
oh
mean
my
girl
god.
Oh wait we have we
did
have
you see her drop her Coke what a
oh
loser.
My god a loser and Nick tries to run after her and she like basically tackles him and she's like, "You don't know about women, do you?" But in that moment, because Michael and I both pointed it out, Tina runs out the door, And on that door are, you know, just some casual party things like a bra and panties.
What?
That's how you throw a party. Yeah, Did you notice that?
It's set dressing to show it's a wild party going on.
There's just a bra hooked onto the door.
It's like random balloons, a bra and panties just strewn
you
about.
You know how teens act. It's insane. This movie is so weird.
I can't imagine, like, going to a party with my friends and seeing, like, just bra and panties just literally strewn about, like,
going to a surprise party for your cousin with his friends that you don't know very well, and then you look over and you're like, is that a bra? What the?
Well, and also, like, it seems like they're all in almost in a constant state. If they're unless it's like breakfast in the morning, they're all in a constant state of just having sex either in a van or in one of the rooms.
They're in a Friday
the
13th movie.
Yeah, they're like, well, I guess we're here. Might as well.
I think that might also be part of Crystal Lake. Crystal Lake
just makes
powers.
Everyone so horny.
That Bermuda Triangle power. Yeah.
Like, it erases your memory of murders and it makes you just want to have sex wherever you can.
That makes sense.
All that makes sense.
Well, so let's get into, like, there was another issue. We mentioned the timeline being all wonky. One other issue I have with this movie, and I think this is the main issue that leads this movie to feel meandering and just by the numbers. So when Tina brings Jason, well, I don't want to say Tina brings Jason back to life. I think Jason was always alive underwater. He was just sort of basically like in hibernation.
That's the thing. He was in sleep mode. Yeah. He was like, well, I guess I'm underwater. I can't really get free, so I'll just power down.
Yeah, I'll just power down. Well, right there is another problem I'll get back to. Well, I'll address that in a second. I'm going to put a pin in a point I was making. Uh-huh. Let's transition really briefly to this big problem with the movie. Jason is established as a super powerful, supernatural zombie, right?
So thanks a lot, Tommy.
Yeah, a supernatural zombie that can basically, you know, he's immortal. He can burst through walls. He has super strength.
He can be shot with bullets
shot
or
with
nails
bullets,
or whatever.
Up, nails in him, like knife, machete to the skull, whatever. You're telling me that type of being can't grab the chain around his neck, pull himself down, and then just break the chain underwater?
Yeah.
How is this chain suppressing him?
Remember...
Cut to Fleetwood Mac's Break the Chains?
Yes!
remember when, in part 6, when Tommy goes to that creepy occult bookstore, and then he learns the keys to get a big rock and a big chain?
It would have made a little more sense, at least, if Tommy said some sort of incantation or something.
Well,
I have an excuse. I have a good reason.
Okay, go ahead.
There was no point if there weren't any teens to kill.
Oh, he could tell there were no more teens.
He was just waiting for, like, a good assortment of teens.
He hears someone approach, and he kind of, like, puts his feelers out, because he's got feelers,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he's like, okay, it sounds like there's a party going on, but not quite. Ooh, someone with telekinetic powers is now showing up.
Oh, okay. Sure.
All right, let's go.
Yeah. And he, like, cracks his knuckles, and
this will be fun.
Yeah,
I guess that makes sense if we're comparing him to the shark in Jaws. Like, there's no food around, essentially.
Yeah, yep. Exactly.
They probably shut down that summer camp at the end of part 6, and it took a while. Then they built some vacation
homes.
This is
totally explained, Dave. This was clearly well thought out.
It's clearly a good
All right.
script.
Well, let's get back to the other point I was making before, speaking of not well thought out. So Tina brings him back. He's back again. He's out of the water. He's unchained.
And he's coming for you.
That would have been a good... Friday the 13th, part 7, Jason Unchained.
Yes.
Yeah, because new blood, like, what does that mean?
What is it? Yeah. But anyway,
you could have called any one of these movies after one the New Blood.
Yeah. Give us something badass like Jason Unchained.
So the scene doesn't make sense to me because he's unchained. It's established that the dock is right next to these two vacation houses where every character is residing currently. What does Jason do? I will walk 5 miles out into the forest for no reason.
I'm nervous. I can't do it yet. I'm sorry. I gotta work my way up to the house.
No, Dave, again, you're clearly not thinking as hard as this movie is. He needs to get his machete.
His machete
radar is going off and it's beeping.
He's pinged.
He's being pinged 5 miles over there. Is some guy with a machete. I got to get that first.
Well,
and then
first
work my
I got to kill some kids first, and then I'll get my machete, kill two more people, do that great sleeping bag kill.
I got to charge up my special meter.
That's what he had to do. He had to charge his whole thing.
Warm up
because he's been.
You can't just go to the gym and start doing reps. You got to do some stretches.
He's been sleeping for 200 years underwater. He's got to work his way up.
Good point.
He's also been underwater. He's probably disoriented.
Generations.
He's a little sleepy.
Come and gone while he's been under that.
This reminds me of in part six when Tommy and his friend go to the graveyard and Jason's grave is somehow like decrepit and like moss covered.
It would have only been a few years.
No, it's been 200 years that he died.
Yeah, okay, it's so like that some grave from like sense. The 1700s.
See, that's what the time jumps are.
Now we're getting back into the Fellini movie. I imagine Jason coming up and beginning to cope with the time that's passed. He looks at his hands. My God.
My God.
I'm so old. Oh, I see shoulder pads are back in fashion again.
Interesting.
That would be in the guitar.
Do people still have sex?
Yes. Like half the movie, it's not even Jason at the camp. It's just him back in town, like learning to cope with everything. Like, I can't believe it.
Yeah. Just a shot of like Jason at a diner staring into coffee.
Yes. And, like,
a shot of like him just mixing the milk into the coffee.
With
his
creepy,
like, spinning the spoon,
wet hands.
His, like, narration.
There's like, I imagine like a piece of like moss or something is like coming off his fingers and it's like getting into the coffee.
It's really nasty. Yeah,
it's really gross.
The waitress comes over and she's like, another one.
Yeah, he's like, urgh.
Top it off.
He just quits. But like, okay, so you just, oh, well, you fixed the movie for me,
yep.
Mike. He's having
Sorry,
an existential
we're movie
crisis.
Doctors.
But if you don't
now
look
it's a
at
perfect
it,
film.
If you don't look at it through that prism, it's basically just Jason, like, you know, going 5 miles off into, you know, all the kids, all the food, essentially, if he's a shark, is right there. But no, I'm going to go 5 miles off. Because it literally says, there's a sign that says Crystal Lake 5 miles.
Says 5 miles.
So that means he walked 5 miles out into the forest for no discernible reason.
Walking 5 miles, and Jason doesn't walk fast.
He's like, so slow.
Takes his time.
That's going to take like several hours.
That was the same with like the first couple, their car breaks down and the girlfriend's like, come on, it's not much farther. We'll just keep walking. And they pass that sign. It's like, what? I know how much 5 miles is.
We actually
suitcases.
What we don't realize is like Jason's so slow. It took him a whole year to walk 5 miles. So what we're actually seeing is the next year's surprise party.
Wow.
They stayed there all year.
But yeah, it leads this movie to feel meandering because like he goes out 5 miles into the forest, kills random people for no discernible reason. Well, I should say he goes out 5 miles for no discernible reason, kills some people, makes his way back.
Kills some people because that's what he likes to do. Because
that's what
we
he likes
that.
To do. He makes his way back to the vacation houses, kills some people, then walks out into the forest again for no discernible reason to kill Dr. Cruz and the mom after they chase after Tina after she's run away. It's just, imagine Jason, like if I were looking at a map and I just see him going up, down. You know,
he's like, well, I guess I'll walk back now.
And there are some points when it feels like, especially with, you mentioned the machete, he's like, oh, well, Dave, he's got to go out and get his machete. That's why he goes out there. Wrong, because he ditches the machete after that kill. He gets any random piece of farm equipment he can find.
Yeah, he finds a whole bunch of shit. Equipment too, you know.
And it's like, I appreciate the fact that the filmmakers are like, let's vary up the kills, let's get some different, like, you know, weapons, whatever, but it just feels like there's no, you know, like suddenly he shows and he has like a buzzsaw and it's just like, where'd he get that? What? You know, it's just, it doesn't feel like the movie, like in the previous movie, part six, he wakes up in the cemetery and he makes a direct line killing people along the way back to the summer camp. Like it's a threadbare story, granted, but at least it feels like there's forward momentum. Whereas in this movie, he's just kind of walking, zigzagging all around this area, like for no discernible reason. It just feels meandering.
Can we say like the elephant in the room here? The kills in this movie suck.
Well, they were severely neutered.
It sounds like this was like gonna get like an X rating, and they wanted to edit it down. So there's like lots of stuff, like the weed whacker scene that you were just talking about. yeah, we see like it's like it's finally it's our bad guy, like the bad psychiatrist.
He should have the most violent death in the movie.
Yeah, and you see it, and it's like they build it up, and he's got the weed whacker going towards him, and it's like, what's gonna happen?
And, like, we deserve to see this guy like hacked to bits.
But apparently,
we're not even
really certain
where he's getting cut up.
Well, in the original like version of that, he's being weed whacked in the stomach, and you see like blood and guts flying out,
which would rule.
Which would have been cool.
Yes,
but we don't get any of that.
We deserve to see that.
We just get like a and a cutaway, yeah. And it's like confusing.
Like,
what
okay,
even
I guess he's dead. Sure.
Well, another thing
we can't cut out any of the weed usage.
The sleeping bag death in the beginning, where he picks up the girl in the sleeping bag and hits her in the tree, and she's just like dead. Apparently, that was like edited down, where he's doing it like several times.
That's the thing, because when he does it, just one hit and she's gone. I'm like, I guess he's strong and everything, but you think he'd like smack it around a little bit more.
Because if you recall Jason X, they have a throwback to this scene, and you see him do that where he's like repeatedly whacking it, you know, against the tree.
Yeah, so it's like it's not delivering on one of the things that is cool about Friday the 13th. It's like the interesting and weird silly kills. Like you don't really get much of that.
Yeah,
we get like one of those birthday things. Ooh, got to the face, but it's completely bloodless.
Talking to you. Stop screwing around.
Yeah, and even when we see the girl like dead, it's like 2 seconds. Yeah, when Tina walks up to the tree where Jason is putting all the bodies, and it's, we get like a 2 second shot of each of them, and there's like a speck of blood.
There was a funny moment, like speaking of trees and decapitated heads, I never realized this watching this before, but there's a moment towards the end when Jason's like chasing her through the house, the party house, when she kind of notices a decapitated head of, I can't remember who it was.
Is
I think
it
was the sci-fi nerd. It was either the stoner or the sci-fi nerd. I can't remember. But his decapitated head is literally sitting on the top of like a planter. You
know? That's
and
funny.
And she uses her telekinetic powers to throw the planter plant at him. And for some reason, I never realized watching this for years that his head was on top of the planter. Because when you see the shot, the head is on top of the planter as it flies through the air. So she basically throws the decapitated head at Jason.
He's like,
like, ew, gross.
And Jason's you can't hurt me with my own kills.
Well, that's an interesting thing. Like, so how did you guys feel about this whole Carrie telekinetic thing?
I think it's a cool idea. And
it's
like
something
I,
at least.
I think it was some of the more fun parts of the movie. Like the showdown at the end of like Carrie v. Jason was, I thought, the best part of the movie.
I think it's it just you feel kind of the cheapness of the ripoff. Where like it does not have her psychic moments do not have the tension of anything from Carrie.
Did you guys get Dragon Ball Z vibes from these showdowns? Because like you'll notice that Jason very politely stands still as she like does she charges up
where
essentially.
She
like Goku.
Yeah, stands there charging up and then throws a couch at him. He's like, ugh.
He just stands there and takes it. He's like, well, I'll let you charge up.
Then it's my turn.
Yeah, I didn't think about that, but you're right. Yeah. There's also kind of like some spaghetti western vibes a little bit, where they kind of similar things where they're about to do like a shootout kind of thing.
Yeah, they're like, let's just stand across from each other for 5 seconds, count them, 1, 2 like
they're like literally like Jason is being engulfed in flames, he's just looking around,
he's
he
like
just looks
okay
back at her like, are
when,
you doing
when
that?
She's shooting like the gasoline at him, he's just like, okay,
I'll just let this happen.
What's this, gasoline?
Mention that at the time that was done, that was the longest guy on fire stunt that had been
done.
Wow. He was on fire for 44 seconds, I believe.
That sounds dangerous.
Well, there was that moment.
And he died.
Where,
no.
That guy died.
There was that moment where like he walks out like on a front porch and she like tears down the porch on him, like it falls on him. I'm like, whoa, that seemed like that's. I was watching that thinking, like, how did they do that?
Yeah,
because there was a person there. It
didn't
look like a dummy or anything.
They probably hurt him. Is how they did it.
The same with when the dad is killed at the beginning. It's like, you know, not that
oh,
he's...
Oh, yeah, when he falls in the
It's
the
like they drop him
thing,
into yeah. the water, and then, yeah, like, half of the dock falls on top of
yeah,
him.
Yeah, it almost looks like it, like, was that supposed to happen?
Like, oh.
Yes.
Is that guy okay?
Well, there's, like, scenes, like at the end of the house when, like, she's, like, she hangs Jason, and then there's, like, there it looks like an explosion happens, and suddenly the ground, like, propels up and there's boards everywhere. The Christopher Reeve clone guy is right there as those boards are violently getting pushed out. I'm like, my God.
She's like, I just met him. I don't really care.
Yes.
Whatever.
Did you see that last Superman movie? No, thank you.
Yeah, this guy goes to night school, whatever.
Dave, where, like, you said this is not one of your favorites. Like, what are some of the movies that are like, without like hard ranking them, what are some of the movies that are like above and, you know, where, what are other movies in this category of Friday the 13th?
Well, I would all the previous Friday the 13th movies we've seen on this show, I would rank above this one.
Even Jason X?
Absolutely. Because at least Jason X is fun. Its tongue is in cheek, you know.
It's trying something.
It's going for something. This one just, like you said, I think you really nailed it by saying this feels by the numbers. Like, it doesn't really, there's nothing really about it.
Not to interrupt you, Dave, sorry. I did not care much for the main girl's acting.
She's not good.
She's very pretty. I like that she has a normal hairstyle, but
apparently
she wasn't giving me much.
Apparently she was a recurring star on a soap opera at the time called Knot's Landing, which was a spinoff of, I think, Days of Our Lives, so I want to say.
I can see that.
Sure.
I can see that.
And I'm sure that, you know, her abilities probably matched a little bit better with a kind of like soap opera, you know, vibe.
She felt like she came from a soap opera world.
A little bit.
Whereas all the other people, they're either having sex or they're just there, or you have the stoned character with Dave, I think his name was David. You know, actually, there was a thought occurred to me, speaking of stoned, the thought occurred to me as, I don't remember her name, but the girl that sleeps with David, the stoner guy, there's a scene when later in the movie when he leaves to get food, and she before that, though, she says, I am so stoned or whatever.
I'm so stoned.
And like, so later on when he takes, obviously he's been gone a while, so she goes to look for him. You would think that she would go downstairs to the kitchen because he said he was hungry. But no, she goes into other bedrooms looking
for
upstairs.
Him.
And at one point, she hears a noise in the closet and thinks, oh, that must be him.
It's got to be him.
And I'm watching this thinking, like, what is she doing? And then it occurred to me, oh, yeah, she's stoned.
She's stoned, and she just had sex and showed her boobs to the camera. And you know, it's dark, it's confusing, and there's a cat here.
So much weed. Like,
it was.
Oh, yeah.
He brings so much weed to this house, and it's really funny when they show like his stash or whatever. Obviously,
it's just
not
spread out all over the table.
I was like, Jesus.
But they show it his just like baggy of weed, and it's like, okay, so this guy smokes only stems. He's like, I'm such a stoner. I only smoke the worst weed available.
Hey, it was the 80s.
It was the 80s. It was
weed.
Hard times.
Maybe that's why he's always running into things. Like, he's running into lamps. He's falling off the bed.
Because his weed sucks so
his
bad.
His weed just sucks.
Yeah, it's the 80s. That's you know, a huge crime that he's committing.
But honestly, like, I, in a weird way, this scene when she's looking around this room and she thinks he's in the closet and it turns out to be a cat is strangely some of the best acting in the movie. Because like I said, like, her acting and the situation of her looking for her lover who went to get food, but instead she's in the adjacent bedroom for some reason to look for
him. She forgot where he went.
It all makes sense because she's stoned. So I'm watching this thinking, this is pretty decent stoned acting.
I like when the cat shows up too, and she's just like, "Oh, hey, Candy, what's
like,
up?"
Yeah. It's like, it's certainly better than the lead actress's soap opera acting. Like, I'm at least latching. This feels real. You know what I mean? Like, if this were the Fellini movie, like, this would.
I also
the Fellini cut.
Yes. Speaking of the two stoners, after they hook up, and they're like, oh, the lights were cut. Oh, let's get. I'm gonna get some food. I'm stoned. It's like I actually kind of liked the chemistry between those two. Like,
yeah.
Up until that point, when they get murdered, like they're clearly having a great time together.
Well, because there wasn't like unlike some of the other characters, especially like the rich lady with the pearls. Like, yeah. there doesn't appear to be anything malicious about. The stoner character, at least, he's just...
except that the girl did tell her friend that mean thing of like,
oh,
you're
right.
Not his type. You should do a touch up. Take your glasses off.
Okay,
which is not
that's
nice.
Right. So she did deserve to die. Okay,
yeah, and that's why she was thrown out a window.
But not the Dave guy.
He was sharing his weed.
Yeah,
justice for Dave.
He just likes a non-sweaty girl.
What I like about you...
What?
You hardly sweat at all. You want to get high?
And who knows? Like, if he had seen the other girl who has the makeover, he might have just been like,
he might be like, hey, girl, what's up?
Check out those shoulder pads.
I mean, again, it's like, this is the 80s. It's, you know, a bad time to be alive, especially if you're... like a not 100-pound woman, but yeah.
They could have had a Breakfast Club scene where she has that makeover and suddenly Emilio Estevez is like, whoa,
but it's like, she clearly just has like a round face. Like she's not even like fat. She's and not that it's okay to treat anyone like that, but it's like, wow, you took your glasses off and put on some lipstick. Oh my God, you have a midriff.
You puffed your hair out.
Whoa!
I never noticed you before, but now that you puffed your hair out, you put on shoulder pads.
Do you want to smoke some weed with me?
Yes, I got
She's
some
like,
good
yeah,
stems
I do.
Here.
I'm excited for Jason to take Manhattan.
Oh yeah,
you know
he
Mike,
deserves
you say
a little vacation.
I gotta tell you ahead of time. Part 7 and part 8 are like neck and neck with my level of.
But
not
but
caring.
It's like the best title of a movie ever. Friday
it
the 13th,
is.
Part 8, Jason Takes
it's
Manhattan.
It's so much better than The New Blood.
Well, I won't say why I dislike that movie and why it's like towards the bottom of my list.
I think I know why.
Okay, well, we'll get to it eventually.
I think I know the thing about Jason Takes Manhattan that's the problem.
He does 9/11.
Oh my God.
Oh my God!
Well, I will say
I
that
thought it was really insensitive
speak,
when
to
that
speak
happened.
Briefly on part 8, probably the best thing about that movie is its trailer, the teaser trailer, where it's just wide angle shot of the New York skyline. It's panning down and you see this figure in the distance looking off, and it has like this music, like this whimsical, like almost like When Harry Met Sally kind of romantic vibe to it. And then like a runner runs by and Jason turns around. It's Jason.
Hey,
and then the tagline
is
Jason Takes Manhattan, New York. Has a new problem.
Well, yeah,
start spreading the news.
From what I've heard, yes. I think the problem with Jason Takes Manhattan is he doesn't take Manhattan so much as takes a boat on the way to Manhattan.
Well, and to clarify, he takes a boat that's going from New Jersey to Manhattan, a cruise ship, which was like, okay, so is this like a 30-minute... you know, boat ride? Like, what is this? But it somehow takes the first two acts of the movie. Anyway, that's another episode.
What is Jason Takes the Staten Island Ferry?
That's another episode in the future. Maybe we'll do 100 years from now. I don't know.
Yeah, that's when Jason will next live.
But you know, to turn it around, you know, we're getting negative. If I have some positives to say about this movie, it is, speaking of Jason, Jason in this movie arguably has the best, like, look. I mean, he is gross looking. You see his spinal cord exposed.
Oh, yeah, the first time we see him from the back, the spine.
The grossest part of this is when she's using her telekinetic powers to squish the hockey mask.
And all that, like, pus comes out.
That was, like, gross.
But it's, like, that moment with like, the fluids or whatever is so much scarier than when the mask actually breaks and pops off when we see, like, a zombie
face.
He
looks like a Scooby-Doo.
He looks Scooby-Doo.
He has, like, a frog face or something.
And it's if... I feel like if they had, from that point, like, you know, we see the gross back of the head, we see the mask snap, if, like, he turns around but we don't see it, we only see, like, Tina's reaction, like, that could have been so scary. But they didn't do that, so...
Jason fumbles for, like, a sack or something. Like, hold on, let me get a sack.
Don't
to put
look
the hole
at me.
Okay, oh, okay, I'm good. But, I mean, it is good design, and actually, we have yet another reference back to Ghoulies. It keeps popping up, but
great.
The director
Ghoulies
of this
is the key.
Ghoulies is the key to all this. But it keeps popping up. But the guy who directed this movie designed Jason was also the guy that designed the Ghoulies. His name is John Carl Buechler. He was like a big special effects guy in the 80s. I think he worked on Troll, obviously Ghoulies, and this movie. So it all comes back to Ghoulies in the end. Who would have thought that the crappy film we used to kick off our Shocktober Part 2 would just keep popping up again?
Would be so relevant to everything.
It'd be so relevant. It really is the key. But yeah, if I'm giving one positive this movie, it would be the character design of Jason. Like, it's clear that a lot of thought was put into it. A lot of love was put into it. It's super gooey. He's got, like, the zombie hands. Like, his jaw, like, you see, like, his teeth. It's, like, exposed. And I appreciate it. Even though you would think this movie doesn't care one iota about any sort of continuity, they do, at least with Jason's design. Because you may notice, if you remember in Part 6... You guys remember at the end when he's underwater and the boat propeller, like, chops off,
oh,
like, his
jaw?
Oh, yeah,
and you see the chunks.
They retain that. Like, that part of the mask is broken off. You also see when his mask is cut away, you see not only the axe mark in his head from Part 3, but the machete mark to the side of his head from Part 4. So it's, like, it's clear that there was some care given to this movie. Like, yeah. I don't know.
And that's the thing where if they weren't, you know, trying to get that lower rating, I'm sure there would have been care also in just some, you know, fake blood stuff and, like, gooey shit. And it is a shame that they couldn't really do that. I want to see the evil doctor's guts spill out.
We may not have seen the blood and guts, but we did get to see a pretty cool looking Jason, I suppose.
We did.
If that's any consolation.
A couple boobs.
Oh,
which
and
is
we
great.
And we did, yes, we did see the requisite horror movie boobs, and the weed smoking and the sex and all that stuff. But
it's all take.
I suppose I would if you mentioned Manhattan, I would rank this one above Jason Takes Manhattan for that reason. But and we should point out, speaking of Jason, this is the first time that Kane Hodder would play the role. He would play the role from now all the way through Jason X.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, he stuck around for a while.
Good for him.
He was the only actor to play Jason, I think, more than once or twice. He played it 4 times. And he's certainly like a fan favorite. So.
He's real good at silently killing people.
He's also if I'm not mistaken, he's also the actor that popularized the idea that Jason doesn't run, he just slowly walks. Mm. Which I guess could be scary, but also it's like, it would have taken him 2 years to walk that 5 miles. I'm sorry.
It takes a long time to walk 5 miles. I'm sorry.
It does. But yeah. Oh, here's a, okay. Okay. We mentioned the dad. So we were talking about, you know, alternate cuts and this and that. I'm not sure if you guys are aware. I'll have to show you the footage. But initially, the original idea, the idea is the same. So when the dad comes out of the water at the end and pulls Jason down, he puts the chain around him and pulls him down.
Because the only thing that can stop Jason is a ghost.
Exactly. Originally, the dad was also supposed to look like a zombie.
Oh, that's lame. They didn't go for that.
Did they change it because it was confusing? Like, who is that?
Wait, who's that guy? Who's that zombie?
Maybe it's confusing. Maybe it's because it's like, oh, that's too gnarly. I'm not exactly sure.
They should have shown us zombie dad.
But it was going to be zombie dad in his sweater, you know, pulling Jason down, which, again, still doesn't make sense to me why super powerful zombie Jason can't just break a chain. It's like, come on now. But and it also
ghost chains.
I also look at the scene because, like, the whole movie, Dr. Cruz gaslights Tina into thinking, "Oh, you just feel guilty. You're having delusions. Yeah. You killed your father." Do you think
gaslighting
her father,
in the actual, like, psychological sense of the word?
Yeah. Do you think that her father actually came up out of the water and pulled Jason down, or did she like just use her powers to throw Jason down?
I would go with the powers, just because I think the dad thing is silly.
And the fact
the
that he looks
day,
exactly as he did, like,
yeah,
30 years
and,
ago or whatever.
And that is maybe the one moment where her guilt stuff is, you know, manifesting like that. And, you know, makes up this kind of moment of, like, he did redeem himself, actually, and now I can forgive myself and everything, even though you don't have to, girl, because your dad sucked.
Your dad was a piece of shit.
He was big piece of shit.
I think you're right. I agree. Because if you think about it, if her dad did pull the zombie Jason down, that would mean that they never recovered the body of her father from the 10-foot lake.
Yeah, what happened there?
It was right by the dock, so it couldn't have been too deep. So either way you look at it, like, it wouldn't have made sense for the dad to still be there underwater.
Yeah. If it were the zombie dad cut, I might go with, like, oh, yeah, that's a zombie because there are zombies in this movie. But as is, I'm like, whatever. It's her kind of forgiving herself. Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
Good for her.
I will say I'm a little disappointed that Christopher Reeve clone made it to the end. He didn't meet a grizzly.
I really
though.
Thought he was going to die. Yeah. I guess it's good that Tina has one friend at the end.
The way it ends, I feel like there's meant to be like one more stinger.
Exactly. Yeah. I really thought weak. There was going to be.
There's a gigantic explosion where it looks like they really did blow up this house because yeah. It's huge. I mean, I feel like there's a moment, I think you see like the shockwave go out because it's such a large explosion. But they're safe on the dock, and then the you know, ambulance comes, they're fine. What happened to Jason? I took care of it.
That guy finds the perfectly split mask that's yeah. right next to each other. Like, oh, what's this? Oh, well.
But it does feel like there's like an extra beat that they're missing, like a hand coming out of the water or something like that.
Or something.
Something, anything. Yeah.
No, we took care of him. My dad was a good guy, actually.
What a wild last line. I took care of it.
We took care of him.
Jason. Where's Jason?
We took care of him.
Hey, did you finish the script for Friday the 13th Part 7? I took care of it.
Yeah, I'll have it in at 3. Don't worry.
That's whatever. Just how it feels. Like, yeah, I got it. Anyway.
It's fine.
Any other closing thoughts on The New Blood?
Once again, just justice for moms. This movie is based no respect to moms. The evil ones and the good ones.
Yeah, you know, I never thought about that. The fact it's wild that Mrs. Voorhees is completely just cut from that flashback scene. No
just
reference
to
her.
Just another instance of erasing women's accomplishments. I will fight for Mrs. Voorhees if no one else will. I think it's good that she murdered those kids.
What about you, Mike?
You don't need to watch this movie.
No, if we're getting into recommendations, I would not recommend this particular
installment.
It's
a silly one. Go watch part 6.
If you're binging all of them, like, sure, put this on. But, like, this is the one. This is the one where you can, like, maybe pull up the Switch or something. Or
yes.
And, like, you can play some Animal Crossing or whatever while this is going. Jackie just punched her microphone.
Justice for Pamela.
Ah, Pamela. And Amanda.
I'm so mad right now.
Yeah, if you want, watch Carrie. It's a scary movie.
Definitely. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Go, like, go check out Carrie.
That's what we should be saying. Yeah, go watch Carrie. Much better film.
Or great watch, tension. You
maybe
know,
watch like Federico Fellini's 8 and a Half. You know,
yeah.
There are
yeah.
other
watch
options.
Some Fellinis.
Watch some watch Breathless by Jean-Luc Godard.
Watch most other movies than this one,
and then you can come back and watch this one. But again,
watch part 6.
Again, watch part 6.
Before this is perfectly. It's great. It's super fun.
In that one, Jason's back.
He's the man behind the mask.
I think he could probably skip 7, 8, and I mean, Jason Goes to Hell is a wild movie, which honestly I'm kind of looking forward to getting to in the future because I can't wait to hear your guys' reactions to that particular movie.
I'm ready.
But honestly, I think you could skip 7 and 8. Just saying.
I'm really hoping that
I really want him to take
at least some fun New York stuff. Like, I want if they don't have like Jason like. With the top hat, like, start spreading.
If a taxi doesn't almost hit Jason and he turns around.
Hey, I'm slashing here.
No, that he's silently.
He gets a pizza and he's like, someone's like folding
you
it.
You gotta
like,
fold it, dude.
Then he folds the person in half and like eats him. There's so much you could do with this.
Yeah. I imagine it's like he gets run over, or he gets like hit by a taxi guy and then someone in the back seat's like, what the heck was that?
The cabbie's like, "What are you doing, man?
You gotta look like a big slasher, you know, hockey
mask." The classic thing where he's like doing something insane, and then like everyone in New York like doesn't care.
He's murdering someone on the subway, and everyone's just like, "Don't look up, don't look at what's happening." No, I don't care.
Another
I gotta go to work.
One of those weirdos.
I gotta go to work. I'm not looking at this. I'm not dealing with this.
I hate to break it to you, but he does not put on a top hat and start spreading the news.
Well, then what's the point?
What are we doing here?
So, I'm sorry, he doesn't...
He's supposed to take
he
Manhattan.
Doesn't spread the news at all?
Okay, no. We're about as long as the movie itself,
anyway,
and we're screaming about another Friday.
I guess it's time to cut it. Time
that
to cut
you
it.
Haven't seen yet.
I think that means it might be time to wrap this baby up.
It's time to start spreading the news.
Start spreading the news.
Well, we will be back again, folks. I don't say what the next episode will be, but when we come back, it will be Shocktober. And Apocalypse Video will be taking Manhattan with Jason. Start spreading the news. Yeah, exactly. Start spreading the news.
And this one, he does talk, and it's really upsetting, but it's worth it.
Yes.
New York, New York. I want to wake up in a city that doesn't sleep.
I'm hungry.
How romantic. I'm really stoned.